Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Is my name
No, it's not the song. It's a different song. Why am I doing the other song? Hey, how's our theme music? You guys like our theme music? Just let us know anything.
Boom, boom, boom.
We are two men yelling into the void.
Yelling!
The void that is you. We know there's some of you. We know that you're listening.
I don't know if
but
you're,
it
you
feels
a
like
void?
A one-way conversation.
It kind of does. You're out there. I think you're out there. Hey, if you're out there, let us know. Somehow, email us. We had one email in the almost 3 years that we've been doing this.
It was a good email.
It was a really good email. Then he stopped emailing us.
We occasionally
I try to send him a pin. I guess we've gotten people commenting on our website.
Twitter.
We had anonymous and Twitter. You're right. You're right. You fucking anonymous got a hold of us. That's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is... Speaking of anonymous,
yeah.
Well, that's not really going to lead it. I don't actually have a segue out of that. That was more of a.
That's just you're like, let's stop talking.
I thought you were going to yes and it.
I said yeah. What? Yes. Speaking of,
Have you been listening to any podcasts, Paco?
Podcasts. Well, I listen to Script Notes, which I really like.
What's that one?
Couple nerdlingers who write scripts. They are professional script writers, and they talk about it.
Ah, are you getting inspired or getting tips?
Yeah. Mm. It helps a lot, actually. There's a lot. I think that's why it's a pretty popular podcast. But, you know, they do what we do. One guy lives in France. He lives in Paris. And the other guy lives in Boulder, Colorado.
Well, let's be real. Neither of us is living the European lifestyle.
I'm talking about that they don't live in the same city. That's pretty much the only.
I thought you're like, well, one of them is doing what we do and by living in France and being fancy.
Well, they're also successful. Mm-hmm. They make money.
What scripts have they written? What is their credits?
Let's see. Oh, that's a good question. One of them wrote Big, or no. I can't remember.
Let's just say it was Big.
Well, and they're currently writing stuff now as well. But yeah, so it's a good. And then, you know, I listen to What the Fuck. I love that podcast.
Oh, yeah. You sent me a thing about the Ken Burns interview.
Oh, it was real good, dude. Okay. About the fucking Vietnam documentary, Vietnam War documentary.
Where can you see that? Where can you see the Vietnam
PBS.
War? PBS.
I believe it starts this next weekend on PBS. Yeah, he interviewed
Ken. By the time this airs, people will have seen it already.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. And a really great interview. I mean, like, just a perfect interview about, you know, documentaries. So that's why I sent it to you. I'm like, damn, listen to this bullshit. Kenny, if you're listening, come on Sup Doc, buddy. We'll take care of you.
We could take care of how, yes. I don't know how we would take care of it. We can't take care of ourselves, Paco. We cannot take care of ourselves.
That's a good point. Well, we can at least accommodate him with a glass of water if he wants to come on. But we've had, you know, I was just realizing too, we've had a fair amount of people on our podcast that have been on WTF, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I think that's true. And Bryan Singer, definitely. We talked about that.
Yep. Mr. David Huntsberger.
Howard? I think Howard.
Howard Kremer, yeah.
I think he's done it.
Sure.
Yacht has actually done it.
Really?
Yeah, Yacht came on. And actually, I think Marc Maron played guitar on a Yacht track.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
They met him for the podcast, and then they were like, you want to play guitar on this track?
Oh, wow.
Or the other way around. They might have recorded it first and then
right.
and then had him on.
I yeah. love the band. Those guys were so sweet.
We have, you know, it's interesting.
Henry Phillips.
Oh, I've got
Henry
a,
Phillips.
Well, I've got, I had a segue. But yes, Henry Phillips also. The segue from Yacht was, what are we doing next month, Paco?
Oh, right. Rocktober.
So we're going to do a theme month. We did this back in May where we did true crime. And in October, we're going to do all music documentaries. We've done a lot of music documentaries already. Some people actually think people that have just occasionally seen me posting are like, oh, yeah, that's that show where you talk about music documentaries. I'm like, no, there's other, there's other stuff.
We could have been that specific, I suppose, because there are so many music rock documentaries and so many good ones. Jesus.
Yeah. So we're going to do Devil and Daniel Johnston.
Yes. Ugh, one of my all-time faves.
Yeah.
And during his final farewell tour, his finale.
Yeah. He is retiring from live performance.
Yeah. I want to go see him when he's here. I think he's at the Masonic Temple. He's here.
Yeah, so that'll be early October. And the interview subjects for that, the person who wanted to do it is Kip Yohlhorn, who also helped us engineer one of our episodes recently, musician Cloudland Canyon. And so we did that interview a while ago, and then after that, I ended up interviewing Tyler Hubby, who is an editor who edited Devil and Daniel Johnston. But I was interviewing him about his movie he made about Tony Conrad. But I was like, I got to kind of like ask you some questions about this other thing, which I know you always get questions about. But like, I wanted to know like what got left out of the cutting room floor for Devil and Daniel Johnston. So there's going to be, it's basically one episode with two guests. The first part of it will be Kip Yohlhorn. And we just do kind of what we usually do, where we talk to someone just about something that they like and how it relates to their lives. And then I have about maybe like 25 minutes, half an hour, talking to Tyler Hubby about, and he really did a lot on that movie, like working with Jeff Fersig, the director. Like a lot of the animations and editing, a lot of it was, most of the story is told in the editing through Devil and Dan Johnston. So, and we're talking about like, you know, file formats, if you want to get super nerdy. Like, apparently also just, like, they had to rip audio of all these home cassettes of Daniel Johnston's.
Right.
His parents just were like, here's a box of these, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, his parents are so sweet.
Yeah. It's going to be a really interesting interview, and it is coinciding with the retirement of live performance by the, Daniel Johnston also, I can't say that I actually own any Daniel Johnston music, but I am a fan of Daniel Johnston. Of his artwork, when I was like in high school, I remember hearing a radio show on like KFJC that was like just this eerie, spooky, but like really like touching, like, you know, singer-songwriter. I'm like, who is this woman? And then calling in and finding out about Daniel Johnston, and like I think the DJ at the time was like from Austin and like had known him had like all these live tapes. This is like a while ago, but I mean, I wish I had taped that.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Who knows where that stuff is now?
Yeah. My brother used to wear a "Hi, how are you?" T-shirt. That's how I first found out about Daniel Johnston. I think he got it up like from Rolling Stone magazine, like the late '80s.
Yeah, and so that's gonna drop. The second month, I guess, October. It'll be October. That's why it's Rocktober. It's going to come out in October.
It'll be coming out in Rocktober. Listen for it in Rocktober. And we're doing consecutive episodes, correct? Weekly in October.
As far as I know.
Yeah. Awesome.
Let's ones. We'll just say it's a theme month. And
it's a theme month.
We don't need to say all of them.
Tease it.
If you're into it. You'll be into it. And if you know what, if you like music documentaries, you should go back and listen to some of the old ones we've done.
Yeah.
We did The Punk Singer about Kathleen Hanna. We did
so
that
good.
With Hutch Harris from Thermals. We did Decline of Western Civilizations Parts 1 and 2.
Uno und Dos.
And I don't know. I have not watched 3 yet. I don't know if I'm ready to handle 3. 3 seems like the biggest bummer of them all.
Right.
And I don't know anyone who's like really into 3. Like,
2 seems to be the big one. 1 is like, of course, you got to see 1, but everyone seems to love 2 the most.
2 is like the entertainment value of 2 is like it stands on its own as a form of entertainment, I would say, about 2.
And
like that's also that period we talked about, that period of like that's kind of how it feels like that's how Penelope Spheris ended up making Wayne's World. It's like chronicling the people in Decline 2.
God. Penelope, if you're listening, come with Ken Burns, and we'll take care of you. She should definitely. And Morgan Spurlock, I guess.
Hey, David Lynch, if you're listening, and
gosh, David Lynch would be awesome.
Know, Werner Herzog, if you're listening,
or Terry Zweigoff.
You know what? I'm gonna say, don't come all at once. We could spread this out. We don't need to do one live panel with all of the biggest documentary directors of all time.
Oh my God, that just gave me chills. That would be awesome.
Don't we talk over each other? We just talk over each other. We'd just be like, "All right, we're two idiots. What did you guys? You guys have done a lot. Well,
let them do their thing."
I don't mean to call you an idiot when I call myself an idiot, but I am just.
Right.
I think our brand is we're on brand when we say that. So.
But we did Glenn Campbell. That was another one.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Glenn Campbell. That's right.
Yeah.
He's just, it's about the sort of middle stages of Alzheimer's when he's still like shredding on the guitar.
Yeah, dude.
And he was we haven't done Wrecking Crew. Why?
No. But we did do Muscle Shoals.
We did do Muscle Shoals. It kind of overlaps, yeah.
There's so many, though. I mean, there's The Wrecking Crew. There's 20 Feet from Stardom. There's Anvil. There's Some Kind of Monster. I mean, there are so many amazing music docs. And we did do Gimme Shelter, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what do you like?
Might have been one of the.
What do you like about music docs? Like, do you like the drama and like the tension between the band members?
No, I think it's just the story. I mean, it's so fucking interesting generally about like how it happened, when it happened, where it happened, who was involved, you know? Like I just saw that I Call Him Morgan about Lee Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like that obviously that doc probably had a budget of 10 grand and it was so good. It's on Netflix. I'm a huge Lee Morgan fan, but like it's just like these compelling. I mean, who's more interesting than a fucking musician? Maybe a comedian. That might be it, you know? But like hard scrabble, just like trying to find their way through life, and some get success, some just sniff it, some don't even get close, you know?
I mean, I guess that's like every creative field has a little bit of that. Maybe not every creative field. Writers probably have that as well.
Yeah, writers. But like Orion, that documentary that's on Netflix, or at least it was, that's also The Man Who Would Be King or whatever it's called. Or The Band Who Would Be King, that doc about half Japanese.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one as well. I mean, maybe it's that inherently musicians are compelling to watch on stage, right? So we know that we already know that aspect of it, and it's like just like kind of scratching that itch. Like, what are they like off stage? I mean, that Gilbert Gottfried thing seems kind of like that too.
Yeah.
It's maybe like when there's a persona, and then like the revelation of what's behind the persona. I think that's what we like about music.
Yeah, talks. I don't like them too slick though. I thought Gimme Danger. I didn't really care for that doc that much,
and
I love Iggy.
Yeah,
yeah. It was just a little too slick. It's, I don't know. It's like I liked Amy a lot. That doc is really good.
Yeah,
And it's it's tragic, obviously, but yeah. And then we also did the Kurt Cobain with Adam. That was a good one.
Jawbreaker just played at Riot Fest. To like,
I
heard like maybe 40,000 people, like
Jesus.
Pretty crazy
That's
numbers.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad, and they made
that
merch
is a crazy
for it.
Name.
I'm glad they made merch for it. That's like smart to make merch for your band.
Yeah, of course.
At a festival.
Hell yeah, sell some, make some money, man.
When I went to FYF, I like kind of looked at the merch, and I'm just like, I just am not. I'm kind of like trying to. I have so many band T-shirts that are just in the closet.
How many bands have you played in, do you think?
Let's see. Bands that put anything out, or bands that I just jammed one time?
Just bands.
We would just make up band names. I remember like one time, I wrote. I forgot what the name of the band was. I wrote something about I was booking shows at the Chemos, which was Polk and Pine
in San.
In the Tenderloin. Matt Shapiro was booking that place. And I wrote something about a band that was on the bill, and I wrote, like, Oakland Represent. And then on the ad, it had Oakland Represent as a band. It was just supposed to be a parenthetical description of another band. So then I decided I would perform as Oakland Represent because I was already on the flyer.
Oh, that's
so funny. That's kind of like how a lot of the bands I did ended up doing anything. I did this improv band with the guy I was in, Vice Cooler, who actually edited a lot of that, the Death of Superman. We did an improv set at the Stork Club, I think with Japanther maybe, and I just thought it would be really funny to call the band the Perfectionists and just like no practice. I believe it was three of us. It might have been... I think Josh and Zano might have played in that band as well. I don't know, 25? It would be a conservative guess, I guess.
Wow. Jesus,
if you just count like one-offs, like just stupid bands. I was in a band called Tree Hugger. I've been in so many. Man.
Playing guitar?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, I did guitar in Tree Hugger. But like, yeah, there was... someone asked me what the worst band name of a band I've been in was, and I just kind of sat in with this band that I knew when I was in college called Sanitary Gremlins.
Whoa.
And now I think about it, Sanitary Gremlins, not that bad. Sanitary Gremlins,
not that bad.
I think if we change the name of this podcast to Sanitary Gremlins and change nothing else about it, we might be more popular.
Probably, actually. We should probably put a page on our website with all the different bands we've been in, with different music and stuff.
I mean, I think I have a link to the my good Discogs ones, page. I feel pretty good about everything that's on my Discogs page because there's some cassettes that I don't even have the masters of that are on my Discogs. So, I'll put a link to that. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
That's so punk, dude. Yeah. Super punk of you. I was in a band called the Large Hungarians. I always loved that name. But
right. I think you said something about this on one of the episodes. You said something about Large Hungarians.
Probably. Yeah. We that was like one of my favorite college bands that I was in. We played in Chicago a lot. We opened for Maceo Parker, and they misspelled our name on the marquee to say the Large Hungarians. So that took some explaining.
Mm-hmm. In Detroit? Where was this? In Chicago?
This was in Chicago. This was in Chicago. Yeah. And it's like an all-black funk band, and we were called the Large Hung Aryans. It's like, that's a misspelling. Sorry, sir.
Yeah.
But anywho, so Rocktober. Rock with us. Rock with us.
What's the last concert you went to? Didn't you go to Outside Lands?
I did. I saw The Hood, man. Oh. And it's like... It was one of those things where I tried to get a weekend pass. I couldn't because, I performed in it last year. I figured I could get a pass, but no. But I ended up getting a one-day pass, which was Sunday, because all I wanted to see was The Who anyways. I've never seen them. They're one of my favorite bands of all times.
Yeah.
I think they're the best British Invasion band there is.
They're personally. They're versatile. They're definitely very. Got all sorts of different stuff going on. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You listen to any of the recordings throughout the decades, and it's all over the place, and it's really well played. It's really imaginative. It's great compositions. I just love those guys. And I left the house without my wallet, and so I get to the bus stop, And I have like 20 minutes to get down to Outside Lands before they actually start playing. And I realize I don't have my wallet. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to just get on the bus and see what happens. And I step on the bus and the bus driver looks at me and just looks right back to the street. It's like, he's like, you're a 40-year-old white guy. Just come on. Mm-hmm. And so I get on the bus and I get there and I walk up just as they're about to start playing. So I got there just in time. And this dude I was standing next to just rolled up this giant joint and was like, hey, I need someone to smoke this with me. And I was like, oh, okay, sweet. And so then I starts, and then he leaves. He's like, you can have the rest. And I was like, oh, sweet. And then this girl walks up to me like 20 minutes later and she's like, you look like you should use some water. Here's a bottle of
water.
That's
not the direction I thought that story was going to take.
Yeah. And she just gave me this like unopened bottle of water. It was so awesome. It was such a great time. And then I got to see The Who play for 2 hours.
And so it was great. It's only two remaining original people, Daltrey and Townsend.
Yeah.
The bass player died like in 2002.
Probably. Yeah, he died a while ago, and he's one of the best rock bass players ever, man.
Great bass
lines. He was a big influence on my bass playing. I used to actually wear my bass like he did, which was like 4 inches under my neck.
Super
like,
high.
I never did the low slang. I always did the high hang.
Probably one of the defining rhythm sections of rock and roll.
God, yes, of course.
Watching Keith Moon videos are just ridiculous. Yeah.
What a nut! Yeah, what a fucking nut!
Is there
man.
A documentary that, about Keith Moon?
Jesus, there should be.
You know,
I don't know.
You know who has good stories about Keith Moon?
Who?
Graham Chapman. From Monty Python.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He has like this record that's like a just kind of, he would do these kind of like, I guess like show up at like Princeton and just do like kind of like a college speaking tour, and he would regale people with showbiz stories, and he has a couple of stories about just hanging out with Keith Moon and like, you know, hanging out in hotels with Keith and stuff like that. So yeah, if you can look up Graham Chapman, Keith Moon, you'll find a couple things.
Oh, that's so cool. I really love how Monty Python was really good friends with like the Beatles. Like George Harrison financed all of their movies.
Oh, really?
People say without George Harrison starting, he started a movie production company. Without him, there would be really no modern day British cinema.
Huh.
Because he financed so many of those films. And also,
John Lennon paid for El Topo, is what I heard with Jodorowsky. Like he financed El Topo. Yeah,
well, that's weird. I just read today how Yoko successfully sued this lemonade company out of Poland that was using John Lemonade. It was called the juice, and they were using like it was like one flavor was called Imagine, and they're using his glasses and shit like that.
You don't fuck with that IP.
No, not that one. So you've seen a biopic or two, right, lately?
Yeah, I was gonna say I other than show documentaries I've had to watch for this show, I have not seen a documentary of late. But I did watch the Edward Snowden movie that Oliver Stone made, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Edward Snowden, I think he does a pretty good job, but it is kind of, the first couple minutes, it's like him doing, just like trying to have a low voice and talk like a nerdy computer guy. And it's like, I can see his throat like kind of constricting down, like, I'm Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but I have to, I've watched a lot of video of, I'm not doing it any better.
That's good.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, pretty good casting though, I would say. I mean, I can't think of another person I would cast as Edward Snowden, like looks wise, age wise, that could really nail that. So I think he did a decent
job. He seems like a good choice for that.
Shailene Woodley plays his girlfriend, and you really get a lot more of that. Like Citizen Four does not get into like kind of the background motivations or anything. What's weird about, there's so many weird things about the Snowden movie. Nicolas Cage is in it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, he's like
the one of his professors at the CIA university he goes to or whatever. A lot of weird stuff in there. I'm not sure how much of it is true, to be honest. Because it really, you know, like at a certain point, it has him as a field agent. Like he's trying to do field work. And
what?
Yeah, like you gotta watch it because it's all the stuff. Like there's like the kind of the framing device around the whole thing is Citizen Four. I want to say Melissa Leo plays Laura Poitras, and actually, really interesting casting. Glenn Greenwald is played by Zachary Quinto, and I kind of see it. That kind of works.
Okay.
Even though, you know. That was not my first choice, but I was like, okay, I see what they're doing. Like immediately, that's the thing sometimes with this casting, where like even if it's not like you know spot on physically, as long as right. The person does the effort, I think it's there. I kind of that harks back to a pet peeve, which is John Cusack in Love and Mercy is he's just really not trying nearly as hard as Paul Dano to be Brian Wilson.
Right.
It's just
I've never seen that.
It's kind of interesting. It's worth watching for a couple of different things, but it's like Paul Dano actually fully commits to the character in a way that John Cusack does not. And it was a weird choice. And I think I've said this before. Greg Kinnear, that's who I would have as old Brian Wilson. That's like physically and I think acting wise he could have nailed in decline Brian Wilson pretty well.
Yeah. Kinnear is just so good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a good actor.
I like John Cusack, so it's just weird. It's just weird to watch him try and do that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Another biopic. Yeah, so that's Citizen 4. Oh, another weird thing about Citizen 4. Sorry, not Citizen 4. Snowden. God damn it. It ends with, am I spoiling it? It ends with like a cut from Joseph Gordon-Levitt to Edward Snowden. As like
weird.
Yeah, like occasionally you'll see that in a biopic where then it's like actually they do that in the biopic you wanted to talk about, which
the
is
the founder.
Yeah,
so bad.
I think it had moments. I liked the idea. I liked.
Oh, man,
it was confusing.
It was just horribly just schmaltzy. It's just. I can't stand schmaltz, man. I just hate schmaltz. Where like two characters look at each other and then kind of look just off camera like, what? Did he just say he's going to come back and reopen?
Mm-hmm.
I hate that stuff.
I mean,
but
yeah,
I love
the
Michael Keaton.
Are you talking about the brothers?
Yeah, the brothers. Like, yeah. Exactly. And I love those two actors.
Yeah.
Whatever their names
Nick
are.
Offerman,
I mean,
is
yeah,
one
Nick
of them.
Offerman.
And then it's the guy who's not David Koechner, but is a David Koechner type. Oh, John Carroll Lynch.
Right.
He's generally good.
And he's in one of my all-time favorite movies. He's in Fargo.
Okay.
As Norm, son of a Gunderson.
Okay.
I love him. He's also the uncle of one of my ex-girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
He's the uncle of David Krasinski.
Also, like...
John Krasinski.
John Krasinski. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, like, unconvinced that the Linda Cardellini character, Joan Smith, would, like, leave Patrick Wilson, who is, like, a hunky guy, for, like, a decrepit...
Super decrepit.
Super decrepit. Ray Kroc... Man,
yeah.
Okay, so here's why I wanted to like this. So the writer is Robert Siegel.
Oh, I like Robert
Siegel. Yeah, he did The Wrestler and Big Fan.
Yeah, right.
Did he direct? No, he's a writer and Big Fan. Not sure who the director was. So I think, like, the thing about The Founder that is, like, so if you don't, it's about Ray Kroc, who, I guess I'm using air quotes, started McDonald's. He didn't start McDonald's.
Right.
He, like...
No.
Took the idea. He
franchised it.
And so it's like, it's, I think, supposed to be a critique of capitalism, but it's not.
Mm.
It's
no,
really,
not at all.
So it's not supposed to be a critique of capitalism. So it's almost just like there's good, there's ethical capitalism and unethical capitalism, I guess, is the only two options that it's really talking about.
Well, I mean, it seems like he, it's like Robert Siegel seems to make protagonist, kind of the antagonist in his films, mm-hmm. and this one just didn't. It just kind of fell flat. Mm-hmm. I watching it, I was just like, ugh. I really actually wanted it because I love Michael Keaton, but like, ugh, The Founder, not so much.
Michael Keaton, I think, did a good job with what that he was given in this situation. But yeah, it's like, it's to me more of a question of like, what was the point of this story? There's like so much that could be done about McDonald's that they kind of, I think they waffled on it.
Ah, is that a food joke?
You know what? Now it is. But
now it is.
Nick Offerman, John Carroll Lynch, Linda Cardellini. It's confusing. I mean, I had a lot of different thoughts after watching it, and then, like, are you supposed to root for? Yeah, are you supposed to root for Michael Keaton? Are you supposed to root for Ray Kroc, or not?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. I kind of hated. I kind of liked him.
He's kind of Walter White a little bit, right? If you think about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of Walter
White.
I
mean, I rooted for him. Right. Exactly.
Like, so, you want to root for him in the beginning because just everyone's shitting on him. And then he just turns around and shits on everyone else and into our mouths, literally. He puts feces into in our burgers.
he sure did. And then there's no better McDonald's movie than Super Size Me in my mind.
Oh, yeah. That is.
That's the. That one takes the cake.
I was going to say, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle has no McDonald's in it. So I'm
this is
completely
true.
Wrong. But yeah, so it's an interesting biopic because, it is kind of cool that Joan Kroc takes all this rich Republicans' money and like gives it to like anti-nuclear causes. This is like addressed after the fact, but donates like most of NPR is paid for by Joan Kroc.
Right. That's
awesome. You'll hear that on the ends of most of those shows, like the Ray and Joan Kroc Foundation. I'm like, Ray would be spinning in his grave.
Oh, he would hate every second of it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to stay in this marriage until you die so I can give your money away to pinko commie leftist liberals.
To me, that's like what the movie should have been. It's like the kind of like just dealing like I'm going to divorce Patrick Wilson to be with this like future, you know, a guy with like fry grease running through his veins.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. And it's, speaking of giving money to leftist commie pinko liberals, we are on Patreon.
Look,
so.
there is money on both sides. Both sides.
That's right.
Visit
our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast, and give if you can. It would be awesome.
Look, there's a lot of things that are terrible in the world right now, and we are trying not to be one of those. So you can
give
us some of your money. I mean, also, I donated some money to Houston. Got to donate some money to the terrible earthquake. So, you know what? I'm kind of a downer. Is really what it comes down to, and that's why I like documentaries because I'm a downer.
Yes, me too.
I'll bring up the most depressing current events, and then there'll be a documentary about it. But yeah,
I actually have someone at my door. So if you want to sign us out, I have to go answer the door.
Well, that is a very weird way to leave us hanging. So, Paco,
yes.
Who's at the door?
That was the mailman with a box for my roommate. It seems like it's wine. I think it's wine. He's part of a wine club.
Nice. It's nice to have a roommate in a wine club.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I call a wine club? This podcast.
Because we're fruity.
Whining about... No, that was... Okay.
Because we're bold?
I was going to say because we all are whining about our careers all the time. But
true.
You have some bookings
coming up
after this comes out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. After this comes out, I'll be in the Midwest doing shows in Michigan and... The Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, and in Chicago doing some shows. I actually have tickets to go see Eddie Izzard, which I'm extremely excited about. He's doing like this like show about his life and then like a question and answer thing. It's going to be awesome. And then I'm going to be at Rooster Teeth Feathers the week of Thanksgiving doing shows with Laurie Kilmartin, writer for Conan. So that's going to be awesome as well.
So it's going to be the Friday-Saturday shows?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yep.
Okay. That makes sense. Right, because she's from the Bay.
She is.
So she's probably up here for Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
That makes sense.
It's going to be a lot. And I'm also at back with the Charm Offensive, my show at the Punchline November 15th. So if you're in San Francisco or the Bay Area, come by. Enjoy a
How
funny
was the
show.
Last one?
Awesome. Yeah, it was just last week. It was packed. Great lineup, man. The lineup was really great. Kellen Erskine was the headliner, who was a Bay guy. And Kairi Shabazz and all the rest. They're all really great. Thanks for asking.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. How about you? You got shows?
I had a show with David Huntsberger, our guest from last week.
Ooh.
Listen to Man vs. Snake with David Huntsberger, if you have not. That was a fun show. It was with Eddie De La Seppe, Kara Clank, and it was kind of like the show I used to do in San Francisco, Talkies. Like, there was a lot of video stuff.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, that already happened. I guess the point is I'm saying I was booked on a show, bragging a little bit.
Nice.
That's a humble brag. The next show I have is a show that I'm doing on October 5th at Giant Robot Gallery. A lot of Bay people on that. It's Kasim Bentley, Mike Lawrence, Matt Curry, Drew Platt, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Bunch of people. Someone named Ember Knight, who I've not seen, but Jesse Elias wanted to book. So curious what that's... I mean, he said, she's not a comic. I'm like, great.
Oh,
this is
awesome.
It's going to be real interesting. I'm very excited to see what Jesse wants to put on that's not comp. Because I think at a certain point, I'm not going to speak for him, but you can get a little tired of stand-up comedy, I would
sure.
say.
Yeah.
Oh, you just did Comedy Day too, right?
I did. Oh, God, so much fun. Whew, Jesus, way too much fun. Yeah, still kind of hungover from that. Just a couple days ago.
We are recording like a full week later. So it's the blood alcohol level of Paco. That's why you didn't read any of my Slack messages about from the last few days.
No.
No.
Exactly.
So next week, it's going to be Kip Yohorn and Tyler Hubby. And we'll be talking about The Devil and Daniel Johnston.
For Rocktober!
Oh. Yes,
yeah,
that's what it will be for.
Right.
And then a bunch of just music docs throughout the month of October.
Fun, exciting, great guests, great docs. You're going to enjoy it. People are going to enjoy it. All right, well.
I'm hungry.
I'm kind of hungry, too. That's funny.
Let's eat over Skype. Let's just watch each other eat.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, no. No, no one wants to watch me.
A lot of mayonnaise. Lots of mayonnaise.
I did have a lot of mayonnaise yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I made
tuna fish
pasta.
Mm,
mix.
Yeah, that calls for a lot of mayonnaise. Were there green peas involved?
I you know my style. This is a green. Okay. I'm a green pea man. I did have to when I had to clean the mayonnaise spoon. I had the option of rinsing it,
right,
or just
doing it,
taking a big bite of mayonnaise to clean it off.
Yeah, and what did you choose?
The latter, but I don't recommend it.
No, it's not for everybody.
There's a tang.
It gets a little tangy.
There's a questionable tang.
Especially if the spoon's kind of old and it gets a little that metallic, kind of that metallic taste. So delicious.
I think that is now the worst band name that I've been part of, the Metallic Mayonnaise Spoon Taste.
Yeah, those guys, although their first album was amazing.
I'm more of a bootlegs guy.
Sure, sure.
All right, well, that sounds like our audience leaving. All right, bye.
Okay, bye.